Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, the villain, he's making a special appearance here on the Baseball Buffet. I stole the mic, I stole the studio time. I said, Dave, go take a vacation. I think he's in La La Land or Disney World or wherever he, I don't know, on a cruise. I don't know where he at, but the villain's here. I stole this spotlight. It's the Baseball Buffet. Calling number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 58 plus minutes. I also, listen, it's Nate, it's his show, he does his thing, I got to bring him in. Nate, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how are we doing? Looking forward to another fantastic Baseball Buffet, the last one of the regular season. The NL playoff picture looks pretty set, and we're just going to have to figure, we're going to have to discuss this AL playoff race. Looking forward to it, Barry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun, man. Listen, you know, I'm watching the game right now while I'm talking to you. I don't know how I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to be like, what? Because I'm like, locked in to this game. Robbie Ray is having his way with the Yankees after that bomb that Aaron Judge hit. So right now, if you're watching along with us while you're listening, I'll run the scores down for you. That's usually what Dave does. So I gotta stick to the script, right? I gotta stick to the script. Yankees are down 2-0 right now to the Blue Jays. Like I said, Robbie Ray has only allowed that one hit from the first inning. He's retired, I think, 12 straight batters since then. He is sparkling. He is something else right now. I'll run it down. The Mets are beating the Marlins 6-3. Who cares? Cubs are beating the Pirates 9-0. Sorry. Who cares? As Rizzo just hit a bomb, and now the game is tied 2-2. In case you're wondering, the Blue Jays and the Yankees are tied 2-2. I told you, I'm watching this game. Me, I'm not playing around.
Yeah.
The Orioles are beating the Red Sox 6-1. Normally, I would say, who cares? But this is an important game for both sides, for the Yankees and the Blue Jays. So the Orioles taking care of business. The Red Sox, falling off. The Rays are actually down to the Astros 3-2 in what could possibly be a playoff preview at some point, maybe. The Braves have beaten the Phillies in a very important series to decide the NL East. Sorry about that. So the Braves are beating the Phillies 5-0, end of the fifth. The Twins and the Tigers are tied 5-5. Sorry, TP, but nobody cares. Kansas City is down 2-1 to the Indians. Nobody cares. I'm sorry. I listen. If you're not in it, I don't really care. No implications. The Cardinals, after losing their first game, I think in over 2 weeks, they won today 4-3 against the Brewers. Both of those teams headed to the playoffs. Cardinals a surprise team going into the playoffs. The Rangers beating the Angels 7-6. Who cares? And then you got two games going on later tonight. the Diamondbacks, the Giants, no implication there. Giants have pretty much all but sealed everything. But maybe I think the division is still up for grabs. The Dodgers play the Padres, disappointing Padres team this year. So those are two late games set to go off. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Nate, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Dodgers still are – they have two game, they're two games back, so they still have a shot to get to catch the Giants in the NL West. But, I mean, it's going to be a tall order for them to do so.
Correct. The Dodgers are two games back with four to play counting today. And just a brief interjection, since I am watching the Orioles-Red Sox game, Pedro Severino just did what Pedro Severino does, which is allow a pass ball with a runner on third base. It's now 6-2.
Yeah.
Baltimore over Boston. And we're just going to just add another one up for Pedro Severino, letting the ball get right past him.
And I got a highlight. Aaron Judge just hit another bomb. Yankees now up 3-2 over the Blue Jays. Go ahead, Nate.
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm rooting for the Mariners to sneak into the playoffs. So I guess the Yankees being in the first wild card spot, that doesn't really hurt too bad. I want the Mariners to get in there, but yeah. So the NL West, since you know we ended with them on the scoreboard watch here. The Giants have a two-game lead. There's four games to play, so the magic number there is three. And Pedro Severino just allowed another pass ball, but somehow the Red Sox didn't because it went off. It ricocheted off the brick wall in the back so hard that the ball bounced right back to the mound.
So why don't they just do this? Why don't they just get a net and put that in front of the umpire? You have a better shot of blocking the ball with the net and giving it back to the pitcher.
I have said that before. Like one of those nets, like when you're a little kid, they learn how to pitch in Little League.
Yeah.
It's set up in a little
tight. Yeah, that's what my son uses.
Down to throw the back.
Throw it into the net, into the hole, have the pitcher run down, get it, and try to get it back, and still have a better shot getting people out of the plate. I mean, oh, my God.
They're out of the inning, 6-2 going into the top, going into the bottom of the seventh now. NL West, whoever wins the division, whoever loses that division, it doesn't really matter all that much because the two of them, this is what's I'll get to that in a second. Whoever wins or loses that division, the Dodgers and the Giants are both officially in the playoffs. The only question is, are they going straight to the division or are they going to have to play that one game playoff against the Cardinals? Now, for my money, I think the Dodgers, I think the Dodgers are better suited for the wild card game than the Giants. The Giants they have Kevin Gausman, but you really want Kevin Gausman to lead off your divisional series. You don't want to burn him in the one game playoff. And right now the Cardinals are absolutely red hot. They've won 18 of their last 19, I believe. Yeah. They won 17 in a row. They lost the 18th and then they won today. So they've won 18 of their last 19 and they've already announced that Wainwright is pitching the wild card game. You don't want to face the Cardinals right now. You just don't, especially if you're the Giants, who I think the Dodgers just have better star pitching. I like the Giants a lot more as a team. I like their roster a lot more. I love that they were a roster that was not supposed to be here. They were supposed to be maybe a little bit above 500 all year, and instead they're running away to win the best to have the best record in baseball for the regular season. Wonderful story. And my favorite team being the Orioles, they wear orange and black. The Giants wear orange and black. So, hey, it's easier for me to root for laundry that's the same color as my favorite team. But that point aside, this is something that I think is actually wild, though. So to transition a little bit into our headlines section, Tampa Bay coming into today, they clinched the number one overall seed for the American League. I believe they clinched it last night. The National League best overall record still up for grabs because it's either going to it's either going to be the Dodgers or the Giants. Whoever wins the NL West, that's going to be. So you're like, there's still a little bit of positioning that can go on, but it's it's just bananas that you have two teams in the same division, both with over 100 wins, so nobody knows who the number one seed is yet. And the second best record in baseball is potentially going to have to play a wild card game and get bounced in one after a one inning or a one game playoff. Wild. Meanwhile, I believe you said
yeah.
Atlanta is beating the Phillies, so that will officially eliminate the Phillies, and that will set
yes.
the NL playoff picture entirely.
Okay, so what,
yeah,
real
ahead.
Quick, Gleyber Torres just hit a two-run bomb. Yankees up 5-2. The Yankees are putting a hurting on Robbie Ray right now. Go ahead.
You gotta love Montoya. Yeah, the Blue Jays are like they're overachieving a little bit in my mind. I think
yeah,
they're
I think
like,
so.
They have talent. They have the offense. It was always a question of were they going to be able to pitch enough, and I think that they're like they're at the precipice of the playoffs, maybe a year earlier than I expected them to get there. So you love
mm-hmm.
that their talent is getting them there, but you also look at their run differential, which the run differential says that they should be pushing for the division lead. They should have been challenging the Rays at the top of this division, but instead here they are clinging to life in the back end of the AL wildcard race. At some point,
right.
that's got to come down to Montoya just completely mismanaging this. But here you go. Here's a Yankee headline. The x-rays were negative for Joey Gallo, but they did have to send
yep.
Luke Voit to the IL. So all
yep.
the smart
I think that's
Voit
for the
made.
Best.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the
I think
Luke Voit had earlier in the season after the trade deadline, and now, oh, well, you're not mm-hmm. going to finish the year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was one of the guys that really didn't want Luke Voit here to start the season. And that's nothing against Luke Voit. I think he's a good player. He led the short season last year in home runs. I just didn't think he was a fit. And I thought
mm-hmm.
because of his value at the end of last year, you could have traded him for maybe an arm or a left-handed bat. Now he has very little value. So now – I think they missed the boat on that. I think they have to sign Rizzo at all costs in this offseason or go out and get another left-handed bat at first base. But I think Rizzo is a great fit for the Yankees. But to your point, I don't see him getting any at bats because Rizzo is such a good hitter against lefties. So it's like you really and he balances the lineup so well because you need that left-handed power bat. And there was no way that Voit was going to see any at bats, and I'm you know, and now he went down with the unfortunate injury. But I want to piggyback on what you said because the NL is actually more interesting than first led to believe, right? I got to give the Dodgers mm-hmm. credit for catching the Giants. I thought the Giants were going to run away with it. They got hot mid season after the All-Star break and made it close. And to your point. I think it's imperative for any of these teams to win the division because, like you said, you do not want to, I would rather face the Braves than – even though the Braves have good starting pitching, I would rather face them than the red-hot Cardinals. Like Wainwright in one game, they could probably win 104 games and be bounced out in one game because the Cardinals are red hot. The veteran pitchers are doing great so far this year. Wainwright leading the charge. You got Martinez and company. These guys are just pitching some good baseball. But then the middle of that lineup, the meat of that lineup, we're talking about we're talking about Goldschmidt, who's red hot right now, and Arenado. They're making their money's worth. And it's so funny because mid-August, I thought this team was a non-factor. I was disappointed. I was like, because I think I came on the show with you guys to preview the season. I picked them to win the division. I thought they were going to be really good, at least good enough to win that division, which I thought was a little weak, right? And to
yep.
see where they were, I was just totally disappointed, Nate. But then they just caught fire. They put it all together, and I'm really impressed with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt, especially Goldschmidt. Putting up some really monster numbers. So that's a team you just don't want to face, right? The Braves, you know, even though they lost my boy, I had picked them for the NL MVP, Acuna, and, you know, he got hurt. But they weathered the storm in a crappy division. And you know, they're basically going to, you know, they're going to – one game, I think, they're going to get that division. The Mets, totally disappointing. It's embarrassing what's going on with the Mets, but Yeah, I think the NL West is really intriguing with those two teams really battling it out. I think you got the Dodgers that have to face the Brewers, and then you have the Giants that are facing the Padres.
Diamondbacks.
So, is it the Diamondbacks or the Padres?
The Giants have the Diamondbacks, who are fighting the Orioles for the 1-1 overall pick in next year's draft. So there is a little bit of back end intrigue on that game and the result of this Orioles game. And then the Dodgers have the Padres, which the Padres are just going to be – somebody's got to
right.
be getting fired out in San Diego.
Yeah, but the last series of the year, I think, right, is the Giants going – they got the Padres, and then
– yes.
The Dodgers are facing the Brewers, who have nothing to play for. But, I mean, interestingly enough, they might have played themselves out of the – they've been away themselves out of the playoffs with that boneheaded play. I know you wanted to talk about it. Go ahead. I'll let you lead this off. This was hilarious. I saw this morning.
So one other quick headline that I just want to shoehorn in before we talk about the Brewers. I want to bring this up because I know last week on the show, Dave and I talked about Salvador Perez setting the breaking Johnny Bench's home run record for catchers. And this is another one that I just didn't see falling this year. It's not that it would be unreal, but the Blue Jays' Marcus Semien set the home run record for second baseman this year, breaking Davey Johnson's record. So he did that earlier this week, which so astounding. You've got two positions that don't traditionally have big power numbers, and you have two all-time home run records for the position across baseball falling in the same year. So, you know, baseball, I know we touched on this in one of our way back in the beginning preseason preview shows. What was the effect of the new deader ball going to be? Apparently no effect at all because they're still able to leave the yard. But now to move into the Brewers earlier this week, as you mentioned, they've got nothing left to play for. They won the NL Central when they beat the Cardinals to break that winning streak. I believe that was the game that clinched the Central for them. And in addition to breaking the streak, but in celebration, one of their star relief pitchers, Devin Williams, decided to go, let's say, a little heavy on the celebration side. And then the story that I've read, according to him, is that he was walking home and got frustrated and punched a wall and broke his hand. He is officially done for the playoffs. So their star reliever puts the team in a bit of a bind by getting too drunk at the post-game celebration and hauling off and punching a wall. Now, in addition to that just being funny, it also, from an Orioles fan perspective, just harkens back to a guy that used to be on our team, Mike Wright, although I guess his name is not technically Mike Wright Jr., and he's pitching for the Chicago White Sox. Now, he got angry and he went off on a tirade in game one time and decided to punch the dugout wall, which is hilarious. I love when athletes get angry and throw temper tantrums and punch walls. It makes me so happy.
I got to admit, I've done that. Not during a game, like temper tantrum. Well, okay, I'm not going to lie, because my buddy, we still call me out on this. I did throw a little bit of a fit in middle school, striking out near the end of the game and flung the bat across, from the plate to where the dugout was and, hit the top of the fence and was benched, subsequently benched for the final game of the season because I wouldn't go pick up the bat. I am that guy. I was a little bit of a hothead. But, totally disappointing that Delvin broke his hand. It's funny how I found it because it's like drunk pitcher breaks hand out for playoffs. I'm like, what? I was like, what? I thought it was like one of those spammy kind of, kind of links that I get, like in the feed or something. No, this is real. This is really real. So, you can't make this stuff up. But, that's totally disappointing for him. I actually just saw news. I don't know if you saw this, Nate, that Frank Thomas is heading up a group that's going to buy the Field of Dreams field. Iowa
see
site.
That,
I literally just saw it not too long ago. So he's heading up a company that bought the controlling interest from from the group that was, I think the group was called the Go the Distance Baseball. So they have like the controlling interest in the field. It's like this kind of complicated, but Frank Thomas, former Chicago White Sox slugger, who I absolutely loved as a kid. I might have to show you the picture. I still have it of when I was 13 years, no, what I was 14 years old playing Babe Ruth baseball. I had the glasses, I had my red hat, I had the wristband, and, you know, my brother, older brother and his friends all used to call me Big Hurt because I was a big kid. So they call me the Big Hurt. I love Frank Thomas as a kid. I still remember him, 1994 Home Run Derby, hitting bombs in Pittsburgh, okay? Like, I tell you that he was one of my favorite. Him, Tony Gwynn, and Wade Boggs were, like, my favorite players growing up. But yeah, him and a real estate developer out of Chicago, Rick Heidner or whatever, I really can't say that. Basically, the guys that are gonna that got the controlling interest in this field. It'll be interesting to see what they do with this field. I hope there are more games like the Yankees White Sox game. Even though the Yankees lost that game, I thought it was a thrill to see a game there. I would like to see more fans out there for it, but I thought the setup was great. I thought it was a great atmosphere. I think they announced that they're going to do another one, right? Did they announce that they're going to do another game out there, or was that like
they are? They are doing one. I know the Cubs are going to be involved in it, and I forget who the Cubs are playing, but they are doing another one next year. I think
Is it the Red Sox? I think it was. But yeah, I hope they do.
It was great.
I'm pretty sure you watched the game on Fox. Fox did a great job.
I was blacked out because I live in Chicago and don't have cable. I rely on the MLB TV and that for streaming, and MLB TV had me blacked out of it. Wouldn't let me watch it.
Replaying the highlights. That's awful. Awful. I mean, yeah, that's when you got to try to find, you know, it was on Fox. You got to try to find the local channel somehow. But they did a great job. It was a great presentation. Joe Buck did a good job. They had Kevin Costner there. I thought it was just a brilliant. It's kind of like the Winter Classic, that kind of presentation. But I thought it was better. I mean, I think they do a good job with the Winter Classic. I think the novelty's kind of a little bit run out its course in the NHL a little bit, but I think it's still pretty cool to see the games in certain arenas. But I thought that, you know, baseball really kind of pushed their chips to the table with a great presentation of a baseball game outside of where you normally see it, and showcase the game itself and the beauty and the love of the game. It just kind of made me feel like a kid, not only watching the movie, but when I had a love affair with baseball. I still love baseball, but when I was a kid, I really had a love affair with it, you know? So I thought they did a really great job with that.
You kind of touched on it. This is the one thing that I'm afraid could develop out of this. So you brought up the Winter Classic and how the novelty of the Winter Classic has kind of worn off. I want to see them keep doing it, but I don't want them to overdo it to the point where, you know, the novelty of that game wears off, because it is so special. So what I'd almost like to see them do, and I have no idea how they would do this, but I'm sure if they sat down and put enough effort into this, it could be a great thing. So way back in the, like, 1920s, 1930s, like the golden era, like early days of baseball, they used to have all-star teams that would barnstorm across the country. They would basically, everybody piles into the train and they, you know, take off across the country, and they stop at all these little whistle-stop towns along the train tracks, and they would play like a little mini all-star game. They did it around the South. I know the Negro Leagues used to do it, like moving around like different southern towns, and they would play in, you know, wherever they could find a field. I'd love to see baseball, MLB, do something like that in the middle of the summer. So, like, you know, they have the Little League. They have the Little League Classic in Williamsport. It seems like they're going to keep moving forward with this Field of Dreams Classic. I'd love to see them just do something where they just drop teams in, like, a random town in the middle, like, send the Cardinals off to Joplin, Missouri, and play on some small college field or something, and just do, like, a whistle stop like that in the middle of summer to keep people interested. I think they could probably do it, and it'd be really interesting.
I think that would be interesting. Maybe kind of take a longer break and have a couple games, maybe like two or three games. Give them a longer break so that they can, you know, because the All-Star break is a nice time to recharge. And then the series usually start up like what? The last game's on a Sunday. You have the Home Run Derby, the game on a Tuesday, and then you're back to work on Friday. So maybe give them a longer break. Maybe shorten the season, you know, maybe shorten the season by, you know, 10 games again or something. Maybe, I don't know, or try to figure it out. But, you know, I think there's a way to do it. I think you're on to something. Have the All-Star game there. That would be awesome. Like,
Go ahead.
Well,
I was going to say, you're going to need to put in a lot of infrastructure to get that done, to get, because like you said, you want to see more fans, there might be a lot of bleachers, and then you're really going to have to put a lot of hotels into Dryersville, Iowa to accommodate everybody coming
in.
That's true.
But maybe, you know, maybe they could figure it out. I don't know. Maybe an exhibition or something. I don't know. They'd figure it out. But I think, you know, it's something that they can play around with. I think that, you know, I don't think there's any other movie set field that can match that. Not off the top of my head. I mean, other than, I think somebody had said the Sandlot. No, I don't think so. I think that's probably the only one, but, you know. Yeah, I don't think there's any other field. I mean, the only other movies I could really honestly think of are Bull Durham, The Natural. That's pretty much
it. The Natural was the one that I was going to go with. But I think they played that in the Polo Grounds, didn't they? And the Polo Grounds got torn down.
I want to say they played it in Detroit, the old Tiger Stadium.
Oh, yeah, old Tiger Stadium.
I think that's where they did it. Yeah, that's been torn down. I never got to go there. I was at Comerica. Didn't get to go. I got a tour of Comerica. But I didn't get to go. And that's when the Tigers are really good. I didn't get to go to Old Tiger Stadium. I would have loved to go there. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how they do it. But go ahead.
Hobbs, in the movie The Natural, didn't Hobbs put – it was the New York Knights or something, wasn't it? Wasn't that the team that he played for?
Yeah. Because I think they couldn't get the rights to. They got everybody. They had the Cubs. He got that classic home run against the Cubs. I remember that. And they had other teams from the league, but only when it was the New York team that was the Knights. It wasn't the Yankees or the Mets or whatever. So kind of funny.
Right.
They have the big bopper.
Well, so what they
that you know the
it's supposed to be Babe Ruth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
What they should do is, there should be a game when the Yankees are in Detroit where they just make the Yankees wear New York Knights uniforms instead of Yankee uniforms and do like a natural tribute.
Right. I think that would be pretty cool. There's so many possibilities, but I mean, like I said, like as long you're right, as long as they don't kind of ruin the novelty, I'm with it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they don't overdo it, then it should be good to go. Okay, so we got about 30 minutes. Call number 929-477-2759 with you for the next about 30 minutes. You're here with Nate talking a little baseball in the baseball buffet. I miss talking baseball. I could talk baseball a lot, like all day, but I don't get a chance to. I'm usually stuck on other sports and not any baseball guys to talk with. So I'm happy I'm here with you, Nate, rocking some baseball talk. So, I mean, let's shift to the AL. So, I mean, you're right. I think most of the divisions are set. Chicago has been cruising for a month. Tampa Bay clinched. They basically clinched everything they can clinch. They clinched the division, best record. And Houston is doing pretty much the same. I think they clinched the division, or at least a playoff spot. I think they're lock up division today, I think, or something like that. So, you know, I didn't think I wasn't sure if the Astros were going to make the playoffs. I think I did pick them, you know, just because I thought they would bounce back. But, you know, they kind of ran away with that division a little bit.
Yeah, so if the Astros can hold on and beat the Rays, they will officially eliminate the Mariners from the division. But the Mariners are still very much alive for that last wild card spot.
Right.
The The White Sox, interestingly, the White Sox were the first team in baseball to clinch their division, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But what's hilarious is that if they were playing in the AL East instead of the AL Central, they would be in second place, and they really wouldn't be, they'd be in the middle of this wild card hunt, actually, because their record's only 91-68. Like, they have not been playing good baseball. They're just in a terrible division. They're like the AL Central is like the one division that makes the NL East almost look competent. Even though the NL East is like equally bad and they haven't even figured out.
Yeah, I think it's worse. I think it's worse. Yeah. I mean, I don't think a team's going to hit 90 wins this year. Maybe the Braves will, but I mean, I'm looking at, I'm literally looking at Higashioka get called out on a pitch like at that almost hit the ground. That's just an angry Yankee fan. No, listen, that division, the Twins have been disappointing this year. They got off to a really bad start, and they never got out of that hole. I thought they would probably take that division. I thought the White Sox and the Twins would fight for it. I ultimately thought the White Sox would take it, but I thought the Twins would be right there. They just never could recover after that horrendous start to the season. So, to your point, yeah, that division is just disappointing at best. I think the next team – they're the only team over 500, the White Sox, right, in that division?
They are.
I think you look at
Detroit. Detroit was surprisingly good. I will say that.
I think they're slightly ahead of schedule. I thought they would be worse than they are. They got 75 wins on the year. I think Fulmer settled into a reliever role. You know, when he was the rookie of the year, in 2016, now you're seeing him in a reliever role. I think he's accepted and he's kind of doing pretty well with that. So now I think they got some nice young pieces that they could start to build around. So I'd be interested to see if they can make a move to 500 over the next year and then start to really challenge some teams out there in the Central.
Yeah, and they, you know, there's some really young studs looking to come up here in the next couple of years out in the Central. So you got Spencer Torkelson, who is the 1-1 overall pick for the 2019 draft out of Arizona State. Yeah, Torkelson was 1-2 because Adley Rutschman was 1-1.
Right.
And then Adley Rutschman was 1-1, and then in 2020, and Kansas City has Bobby Witt Jr., who they were thinking might be ready to come up this year, but it looks like he's going to come up next year. And, you know, he'll be in the rookie of the year watch for the next season. But there's some things to like about the AL Central. Chicago looks like they're in a position to maybe control that division for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland looks like they're kind of treading water. Detroit and Kansas City are rebuilding, but they're rebuilding a lot faster than I thought they originally were going to. Minnesota, man, they had expectations, really high expectations this year, and that didn't work. They're almost the Diamondbacks of the American League, but that's not quite fair to the Twins, since the Diamondbacks are probably going to be the number one overall.
They're awful. They're the worst team.
Yeah,
they're literally the worst team.
I think the pitching staff
I think the pitching staff kind of failed the Twins a little bit. I think they didn't really do anything to address the arms that kind of left, and they traded their pieces throughout at the deadline to kind of, you know, get younger and get some youth. So, TP's a Twins fan, so I don't like to bash them too much, only when they're playing my Yankees in the playoffs because we always own them.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, I think they'll be fine in a year or two, give it some time. We actually got a caller in queue I want to bring in, one of our chefs, Mike from the 615. Mike, how you feeling this evening?
What's up, fellas? I'm always happy to chop it up and talk a little baseball. I can
Absolutely, man. Yeah, we're kind of going all over the place. I don't know if you've been listening but we're just
I have. I got a few things for you based on some of the things you just said. So, I mean,
ready? Go ahead. Shoot.
The Twins, man, you got to think they were close just a couple years ago, so they went and signed Josh Donaldson. They thought that would help. Last year wasn't healthy. And then Byron Buxton not ever really being able to stay healthy. And he really, really struggled at the plate when he first came up. And then every time he really starts to look like he's going to put it all together, like another injury, somebody's going to spend a bunch of money on that guy, and it's going to be a boom or bust type deal. Because, I mean, you can see the talent that's there. You mentioned the you mentioned Detroit, Casey Mize. Tarik Skubal shows you some flashes of being really good on the mound too, like has some, you know, swing and miss type stuff. The thing that always jumps out to me when I think about the Tigers amongst all this youth, though, was like they moved into first base this year, but Jonathan Schoop finally had the year that I was hoping he would have had two or three years ago when I got him in the mid rounds. You know what I mean? In fantasy baseball, because Jonathan Schoop has been really this year. He's fallen off lately, but kind of come back. I still think on paper the teams in the NL East, the upside, except for the Marlins, who are still completely rebuilding, the upside for a lot of those teams does look better than that. Than that AL Central. And low-key, like, it's not something that will be really talked about, and he won't get much consideration. But I think a lot of thought or a lot of consideration has to be paid to Alex Anthopoulos for National League GM of the Year, like Executive of the Year.
Go ahead, Nate.
But I like the GM of the Year call for Alex Anthopoulos. I actually really love the Jonathan Schoop shout out too. My former favorite boy and second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, having some great seasons. We ended up trading into the Brewers, and a bunch of Milwaukee fans hated him because as soon as he arrived in Milwaukee in the middle of their playoffs,
he got out of hit.
Yeah, he was just bad. But then he went over to Minnesota, like got it back a little bit, and it's great to see him recovering. Another great story out of Detroit this year, in addition to like some of their young guys coming up, and it looks like Jonathan Schoop's going to be a guy they can, you know, the veteran presence that these young guys can build around. But Miguel Cabrera just having the season he had, getting to 500 and, like, I think solidifying his Hall of Fame career, that's a great story. You wonder if he has enough left in him. I can't see where he would have enough left in him for one more playoff push, because I don't think the Tigers are going to get there quick enough, but that would be one way to send that guy out in a nice blaze. I'd love to see that happen.
Especially considering he won a ring as a rookie. Like, one of my favorite stories is still about him. Like, to me, him and Pujols, his right-handed hitters are just completely different from any other right-handed hitters in this generation. But Cabrera's coming up. He's an infielder by trade, played third base. And so they put him in the outfield because Mike Lowell was at third base. And so he ended up on that 0-3 team to beat the Yankees, sorry, Bear, in the playoffs. But Josh Beckett and, I mean, you guys know the story. These guys pitched out of their mind for them. But Miguel Cabrera got moved to the outfield because they really wanted his bat in the lineup. So they moved to the outfield in, like, July or something. He'd been playing out there for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. And he makes a running catch and kind of stretched out for the ball in the alley. And actually got a decent enough read to where you figured he was going to be serviceable in the major leagues. So the AAA manager then shoots a message and said he's ready, and they're like, get him the F off the field right now. And so 19, 20-year-old kid, he gets pulled to the side, and they played it up to where he thought he was, like, in trouble or did something wrong, and they pulled him aside, and he gets sent up to the big leagues. So just, like, the way that story evolved, and now to see that, you know, I'm watching him on the back in his career, and I was already grown. You know, when that first started, so tells me how old I'm starting to get. But that's just a fun story about Miguel Cabrera that kind of covers both ends of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those hitters that you just, you know, if you played against him, you know, you hated watching, but you love watching him play. You know, Cabrera is one of those guys. He's definitely a Hall of Famer for me. You know, always played the game right. I just loved how he played the game. Good guy, good person. So I agree with you, Nate. I hope they have a run in them to get him there, but I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's going to be enough time for him. You know, to get that last, you know, run. You know what I mean? But it was fun to see him. You know, when the Tigers actually got good. To see him playing well. And, you know, I remember him in Florida too, Nate, you know, and Mike, you know, when he was hitting down there, you know, he was like, who is this kid? Like, they had a really good team. They had a couple good veteran players, like you know, Rodriguez and company, and then you just say, who is this kid? And he had such a good World Series. And NL play, I think it was the against the Cubs, the NL championship. He was just not afraid of the moment. And, yeah, and you know, he kind of took off from there. Such a great play. I loved watching him play, but yeah, so let's chop it up. Let's talk AL wild card, because that's basically the tightest race right now. You got four teams kind of vying for that wild card spot, right? You got the Yankees, got a game lead over the Red Sox for the top spot. Then you got the Red Sox, the Mariners, who kind of really, give them credit, took care of business against the A's and basically essentially knocked the A's right out of the Oakland Athletics out of the wild card picture. The Mariners sweeping them to really make a move and really get into that conversation where a couple days ago, I didn't think they were really going to make much of a difference. I thought it was just going to be the AL East teams. They're a half game behind the Red Sox, who are struggling right now. If everything holds up the way it is, right, they'll be tied, I think, with the Red Sox. The Red Sox were losing that game last I checked. Nate, if you have the score, feel free to bring it on. And then the Blue Jays, yeah, 6-2 still. So, and then they got the Toronto Blue Jays a full game back behind the Red Sox. So, I mean, Mike, I'll start with you since you're new in here. How do you see this wild card shaking out with all these games? It's so tight, four games separated by one or two games. Where do you think it's going to land by the time Sunday's over?
You know, I've gone back and forth on this so many times. The Rays have clinched home field, so they're going to try to line their pitchers up, but they're, you know, they would like to put the Yankees out of the playoffs, obviously. Like, and so, you know, I honestly haven't looked at baseball scoreboards today. So are the Yankees and Blue Jays playing that game three tonight, or do they play during the day today?
So they're playing game three right now. Yankees are, thanks for asking. Yankees are winning 5-2. My New York Yankees, here come the Yankees.
Okay.
And then you got the Red Sox laying an egg against one of the worst teams in the league in the Orioles. Sorry, Nate.
Orioles are scrappy, though, man. Orioles are scrappy.
I said that Sunday, right? I was like, you know, they're you know, playing in a division where they're getting beat up, but they're a young, scrappy team. And Nate, you're an Orioles fan. You see a lot of their games. They play. They got hitters that they're free swingers, but they can hit. And you know, if they get a little bit of pitching, this team, I think in 2-3 years, they're going to turn it around because they got some good hitters. I really like what they're doing out there in Baltimore. But they're beating the Red Sox 6-2. I don't think the Mariners are playing right now. Are they playing tonight?
They're off.
They're off, yeah, right?
They're
so that's that half game.
Yeah.
Right, that's that half game that they'll kind of make up. And then, like I said, the Blue Jays are losing. So, yeah, that's what's going down. Yankees are winning. That's all that I really care about.
I think if the Blue Jays win that, I mean, if the Yankees win that series, I think you can probably count the Blue Jays out of that wild card spot, probably. But it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt them to see Boston struggling, and then, I mean, listen, you know, Seattle's got an outside shot. There's part of me that hopes they get in just so that team actually gets a game in October. When you look at how long it's been since they've been able to be there, and that's an interesting kind of no-name bunch in a bad division that should be the division that has the MVP of the American League, by the way, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I think – go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say the Red Sox are one out away from losing this game.
In the series.
But, yeah, they're going to lose – and they're going to lose the series to Baltimore. And I just got to believe – They just panned the Orioles TV crew just panned in. Oh, he's rocket right off the shortstop. Okay, so he's still alive. But they panned to the Red Sox dugout and the look on their faces. I know that nobody is left on the current Red Sox roster from when this happened in 2011. But in Baltimore, we call it the curse of the Andino. You know, the little play on the Babe Ruth curse,
yes.
Because that 2011, the Red Sox, that was the year that they were supposed to be really good again, and that was the year, if you remember, it came down to the Yankees were in Tampa, Boston was in Baltimore, and I believe the Braves were involved in the National League side, and the Cardinals were involved in the National League side. But it was the game where, like, you had four games all going on at the same time, and everybody was scoreboard watching everybody else because it literally came down to the last out of the last day of the season to figure out who was getting in and who was out of the playoffs. And Robert Andino in 2011 just hit a little flare. Carl Crawford came flying in to try and catch it, drops it, traps it, and the Orioles ended up winning in a walk-off to knock the Red Sox out. And now it looks like now it's not going to line up perfectly because they're still going to have three games left. But they have to stay in the Baltimore DC Metroplex and go down and play the Nationals, another terrible team. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Red Sox, they feel it happening. They feel the season slipping away from them. And I am here for that. I am all for Boston choking it away after they jumped down. They were leading the division for so long in the beginning of the year, and everybody's like, oh, look at the Red Sox. And I'm like, they'll fall. Loving that they're going to choke it away. The Yankees kind of get a tough draw because the Yankees are the only team out of everybody in the wild card race. The Yankees in game is officially final now, 6-2 Boston. The Yankees are the only team that draws anybody with a winning record. The Mariners have to go out and face the Angels, who have nothing to play for, and Shohei Ohtani is not going to pitch on Sunday anymore.
Not going to pitch. That's huge.
He is not going to pitch. So, you know, you got to believe that gives the Mariners a better chance to win that game. The Blue Jays have to face the Orioles, which, you know, you guys touched on, we're a scrappy team. Like, everybody who lines up against the Orioles this year, you should win that game, but the Orioles aren't going to just hand it to you. The Yankees know well. In fact, I think the Orioles might have a winning record against the Yankees this year, but don't quote me.
I think
on
so.
That.
They might. I got to double check that.
Just took 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox in clutch time, and they played the Blue Jays pretty well, although the last time the Blue Jays were in Baltimore, they played a doubleheader where the Orioles were winning going into the top of the seventh in the one game. I think they were winning like 6-1, and they ended up losing the game 11-6. And then they took a 1-0 no hit shutout into the bottom of the seventh inning of the second game of the doubleheader, and they ended up losing the game 11-1. So, yeah, the Orioles are scrappy, but we also have the tendency to just take games that are winnable and just find a way to fumble it right into the other team.
Interesting thing to me is it's fun to watch Boston choke it away, but the interesting part about it is if you really think about it, nobody picked Boston going into the year. I mean, a few people did from that area, but people really thought Yankees, Tampa, Toronto, like Boston was kind of the third team mentioned by a lot of people going into the season. So they actually have had, especially considering, you know, the train wreck that was last year, they've actually had a better season than a lot of people expected. I thought they had a chance to contend in that division, but, I mean, there's just a lot of good teams in that division.
And it also makes
it tough sledding for Baltimore.
I was one of the guys, and I think, me and Nate came on this show, this preview of the season. I said if the Red Sox top of the order played to their baseball card, this was a good team. And I got a lot of flack for it. And, of course, the Boston fans, you know, that I know, they're like, yeah, that's right, give us another. No. Like, I'm serious. I think they're a good team. Now, I thought they would fall apart a little bit at the All-Star break, and they started to – and they have. They kind of came back to earth. But you look at what happened. They faced the Mariners, the Mets, and the Orioles. They won 7 straight, right? And then they welcomed the Yankees into Fenway, and the Yankees took their heart. They've lost, what, 5 out of the last 6 games? I don't know if they get themselves off the mat. I think, to your point, you look in that dugout, they look like a team that was defeated because they've owned the Yankees all season, and for the Yankees to come in there and beat them the way that they did, the first game was a blowout, and then the last 2 games where they were winning those games, and then Giancarlo, I think the ball landed not too long ago, those 2 home runs that he hit. you know, like, he took their heart out. Yankees, and it was a playoff atmosphere. The crowd was into it, and they got owned. And I don't know if they can recover from that. I really don't think, you know, listen, they should be able to beat the Nationals. I wouldn't be surprised if they win one game, but they got to sweep them to have a legitimate shot. And if the Yankees hold on here, they got two games up on them. I don't know. It's not looking good. So, you know, to your point, the Orioles are going to be a tough draw for the Blue Jays. I think the Mariners, they're not going to see Ohtani. That's going to help. Red Sox need a lot of help, and I don't know if they're going to get that help.
I just want to remind everybody that I actually said that there was a chance that the Red Sox were going to finish in fifth place in the AL East. I called that at the beginning of the season. Now, I was way wrong on that pick, and that was a little bit of homerism in me, but I just didn't see where they were going to get the pitching, because Chris Sale was, like, you figured they were going to be missing Chris Sale for almost the entire year, because he just came back in the last month or so. And then, so outside of that, they were relying on Eduardo Rodriguez and Nate Eovaldi. Like, really? That's who you're thinking is going to lead you into into a playoff push? Now, they did. They severely overachieved, but they were always going to be able to hit. It was a question of whether or not they were going to be able to pitch. And quite frankly, their pitching fell apart almost as bad as the Padres fell apart, I think that's the biggest shame of the season is how bad the Padres just, the last month and a half, the Padres couldn't hit, they couldn't field, they couldn't pitch, their stars couldn't stay healthy and stay on the field, their stars ended up fighting each other in the dugout, it was such a train wreck to see the Padres fall apart. And that's a shame because you really wanted the NL West to be the three-horse race that it looked like it was going to be between the Padres, the Giants, and the Dodgers.
Well, you thought it was just going to be a two-horse race with the Dodgers and the Padres. Nobody thought the Giants were going to be anywhere near as good as they were. And then you thought, oh, wow,
right.
To your point, it was going to be a three-horse race. You're absolutely – the Padres, I don't know, I think the Twins and the Padres are the two most and I probably put the Mets in there – the three most disappointing teams this year. I think the Padres, with all the two stars that they have in Machado and Tatis, and then the pitching that they added, I think they're the biggest disappointment this year. Mike, I don't know if you agree, but I really don't. I don't know how this team is under 500 right now. I really don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, Mike.
In the offseason, the Padres pushed in so many chips. They really made it. Sure. The Padres and the White Sox were the two teams that made the biggest offseason push to get to the playoffs. The White Sox, it looks like it's going to end up paying off for them at least to get into the postseason, just because the AL Central decided the rest of the division wasn't going to play baseball and everybody was going to finish under 500. But man,
you know what I think happened, though?
There he is.
What happened?
No. You know what I think happened? So they started the year okay. You had Tatis go down, but they were still kind of in the race, and they wanted to make all these moves at the deadline. You heard the Padres being talked about for Scherzer too, and it's like they moved all these chips beforehand, and then you thought maybe they were going to make a huge move and get a Scherzer or a Trey Turner or something like that. And then they go with Adam Frazier, who was having a career year, but then he kind of came back to earth when he got out there. And they also moved him around. He was playing second base every day, so you started moving him all over the field. But it's almost like when the Dodgers made that move and they got him right out from under their nose, and so they ended up getting that impact arm. It's almost like not only did it boost the Dodgers and push them forward even more, and the rich got richer, but it really took a lot of air out of the Padres' sails, because right around that time is when the pitching stopped sort of producing. And then guys that you were counting on going into the year, like Chris Paddock, has been a show of his former self, kind of. I mean, I say former self, he was only really good for 1 year. But, you know, the pitching fell apart. They weren't able to make the move, and these other teams got better. And that band of misfits in San Francisco has just continued to overperform, and they'd be the best team in the league. It'll be interesting to see what they do in October. But the Dodgers made that move. They got Scherzer. They got him right out from under their nose, and it just took a lot of the wind out of the sail of the Padres. If you go back and look at the record since that Scherzer deal, they've fallen apart.
Yeah, I think that that Trea Turner surgery, that's going to go down as one of the greatest, you know, deadline deals ever. Like, the impact of that deal, I think, kept them into the race in the NL West. And I thought the Dodgers weren't going to catch the Giants, to our point earlier, and they really have. So I think that trade was huge for them. I think it really was.
And it was equally detrimental to the Padres.
Well, and also a big counterpunch to the Padres was the Giants going out and landing Chris Bryant. It allowed them to solidify their lineup a little bit more, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
he was available. They jumped on him. I thought that was a huge move. Go ahead, Nate. Go ahead, Mike.
And they got Adam Frazier. That's all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was a huge deal.
If you're building your trade deadline day around a former Pirate, you're probably not doing too hot.
It makes you wonder too. Like, it's such an embarrassment of riches in LA. You know, it makes you wonder, like, do they for sure re-sign Corey Seager moving forward? I hope so, because I think he's a fantastic player. But now you got Trea Turner in the fold. So what happens moving forward with that franchise? But, you know, I said this once before, and I still think this, man. Like, we were all looking for the Giants to fade, even when they started hot going into May. Like, okay, like, mm-hmm. they're coming back down at some point. Okay, maybe by July 4th, they're coming back down. But they just never did. It's crazy to me, because you got a band of misfits that just fit together perfect. You got some young guys. You got a couple of stalwarts that were on that team when they first, you know, when they went on that even year run, you know, three straight even years they won championships. So they were, you know, they won three out of the first five championships in this decade, right? Like, so you still got a couple of those guys that were around back then still on that team. And then you got guys on their second, third, and fourth chance who have kind of bounced around the league, and they've all kind of just fit together. And, you know, at least during the regular season, I can pretty confidently say now that I was wrong all year. And as far as regular season goes, the Giants are just a better team in the West. They might have had the sexier name, but they were the better team in the West. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs. There's a part of me that really, really, if it's not the Braves, because I am a Braves fan, but that anthropomorphic mm-hmm. comment is not as biased as you think. There's a part of me that if the Braves aren't there, that really hopes it's the Giants or the Brewers that find a way to come out of the National League, only because you like to root against that team that just throws everything out there. It's the same reason why people root against your Yankees, Barry.
Yeah, I mean, it's a money thing, but Yankees haven't won since 2009. I mean, my 2009 World Series shirt is, like, completely faded right now. So it's, like, it's collected, and, like, I don't know what you could call it, so it's not looking good.
I can tell you that we got an entire decade without it.
Thank you, Nate. That's the first decade we haven't won a World Series, so... you know,
I'm aware,
it's kind of tough for us.
I pop champagne.
Yeah, you do
did
that.
You did
the Dolphins from the 76 Dolphins, right? 74 Dolphins.
I don't think you won one in the 80s either.
Yes, you did. Yep. Did it. 81.
Okay.
No, you did not win in 81.
Oh, wait. Was it 81 or 82 or 80?
Sorry,
no,
I was thinking
80 or
81. 81 you did win. The Orioles won in 83.
Yeah, they beat the Dodgers. That's right. Put some respect on it, Nate. So we got less than two minutes, and we gotta close the buffet. So everybody loaded up their plate at the end, and then went back for seconds. So I think you want to do the Cy Young. So I'll let Mike go first. Mike, give us really quick. Who do you think from both leagues are gonna win the Cy Young, and then give us a close as we get out of here?
Okay, I think it has to be Max Scherzer in the National League. As far as the American League, I can tell you that I'm not sure that I have a guy that jumps out of my, you know, that really, really jumps out at me. The more I think about it, maybe Cole. I mean, he had that midseason stretch, but maybe Cole. Close out, man. Mm-hmm. Sports City Chef's got all kinds of good merch, and check out the barbershop on Clubhouse as well. Thank you guys for having me. I'll pop in as often as you guys let me.
Yeah, All right, dude. Thank you so much. Nate, I'll go first and you can close. I think there is no clear AL guy. I think Gerrit Cole is probably going to get it. I don't think he deserves it. I would have said Robbie Ware, but his last start, he just got beat up a little bit by the Yankees. Julio Urías from L.A., I think he's the guy. I think he's got the most wins in the league. I think you give him the crown in the Dodgers. So, yeah, Nate, go ahead. Yes, yes.
So,
Nate, sorry.
I wanted to say Ohtani, but the fact that he's getting shut down, he's kind of pitched poor. He had a little stretch where he pitched poorly, so I could see where Cole ends up getting it by default, which would kind of annoy me. In the National League, I'm going to go with Adam. I'm going to go with Adam Wainwright. Actually,
interesting.
I just think the way that he's just kind of brought the Cardinals all the way back into the playoff picture, which back around the All-Star break, I said, watch out for the Cardinals. They're going to get their way back up here. And they did. But I agree. I don't think there's anybody that's really jumping out in either league. It's just a clear-cut winner. But for my close, yeah, check out everything on Sports City Chefs. We got the merch. Check out the website, sportscitychefs.com. All kind of great stuff. There'll be baseball playoff stuff coming up there. We're doing college football, all kind of NFL football, all kind of great stuff. Check out all the other pods, too. Great night talking baseball with you guys. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely going to do a playoff preview probably Monday-ish, so look out for that. Talk a little baseball. I don't get to do that very often. But as the big boss man, TP, would say, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if you don't know, now you know.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.